Now the readings that I would like to take are all from the Word of God, the Bible, and from a well-known section, the Gospel according to John. And the first reading will be from chapter 6, John's Gospel, and chapter 6. Verse 38, the Lord Jesus is the speaker in all of these readings. Verse 38 of John 6, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Verse 40, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now chapter 12 of the same Gospel. Chapter 12. Again, the Lord Jesus is the speaker. Verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." And over a page or two to chapter 15 for the final reading. Chapter 15 of John's Gospel. And again the Lord Jesus is speaking in verse 22. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." I not read any further. We trust the Lord's blessing upon his word. Just now as I stand here, there are three things that I'm very grateful for, and three things that I'm very glad of. And I'll mention them to you. The first one is, I'm very glad to have been able to come here tonight. I hadn't far to travel. And I know I also speak on behalf of my brother that will be following in a few minutes. We are both glad to have been able to come here and have the privilege of announcing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The second matter, I'm even more glad about it, and it is that you have come. I don't know all who are here. I don't know where you have come from. I don't know how far you have traveled. The invitation of a friend. Maybe an annual custom. Maybe you just noticed the advertising in the public press. But for whatever reason, it's great that you have come to this building. And we trust that the Lord's blessing will be upon you as a result of your coming tonight. But there's a third coming. Our coming here to preach. Your coming here to listen. And what I want to speak about tonight, for a few minutes at the start of the meeting, is the Savior's coming to save. He came. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that that was the very essence of the gospel that he preached. It hasn't changed. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We sing frequently, "In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me." There was something happened 2,000 years ago. The Savior came and died at Calvary. He rose again. And because of what happened there and then, great things can happen tonight in this gospel meeting. In fact, when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, he quite frequently spoke about his coming. And the statements that we have read from the gospel according to John are three of those statements which he made concerning his coming into this world. The first one is a statement that has often made me think. I just quote now the beginning of it. The Savior said, "If I had not come." Did you ever think how many changes there would be if Christ had never come? Thank God he did come. But for just a minute or two, let us think of the changes that would be true if he had not come. There would have been great changes for him. If he had stayed in heaven, he would never have carried a crown of thorns upon his brow. He would never carry in his hands and feet the print of nails. The spittle of men would never have been upon his face. If he had not come, there would have been great changes for him. If he had not come, there would have been great changes in heaven. You see, dear people, tonight, the greatest wonder in heaven above our heads is the fact that there's a man there with a literal body. And because he is there, there's the possibility that other human beings can also be there. But if he had not come, changes for him, changes for heaven. If he had not come, there would have been great changes in history. His arrival here has divided history into B.C. and A.D., the very date on our calendar, the date that we write or print upon our letters, is a silent testimony to the fact that the Lord Jesus came at God's appointed time, and the line of history would have been reconfigured if he had not come. There would have been a great change for humanity. You know, the coming of the Lord Jesus, it has left its mark upon the human race. And even tonight, 2,000 years later, upon planet Earth, there are millions of people that worship the Savior, that appreciate him. And if he had not come, if he had not come, those words, they bring before my mind a story of horror. Because if he had not come, there would be no meeting like this. There would be no message to preach. There would be no hope for the future. But thank God, he has come. He has arrived. He has been here. He has already done what needed to be done. And let me say, dear friend, the fact that you're in this meeting, let me raise within your heart a sense of hope. Your life could be changed tonight. Your soul could be changed. Your sins could be forgiven. And your destiny could be settled for heaven for all eternity. All because the blessed Savior ever came that sinners like ourselves might be saved. There's a statement that we have read from the lips of the Lord Jesus. We have the record of it here. A short statement that he made about his coming. And I want to emphasize it just now for a minute. He said, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. You see, dear people, before he ever came to this world, he occupied a place in another world. It's amazing to us that he ever left that world of everlasting light. He came down from heaven. We could not save ourselves. We had a problem because of our sins, which we ourselves could not solve. And the help that we needed was help that could only come from heaven. And thank God there was one who came down from heaven. The humanism of our modern day tells us if we pull ourselves together, if we draw upon the rich resources that are latent in our human nature, we will be able to rise up to God. No, people. No, no. That is a fallacy. We could never pull ourselves to heaven. We might as well try to reach that ceiling by pulling upon our bootlaces. But the help that we needed, it came down from heaven in the Lord Jesus. I came down from heaven. It's a mystery that I can't explain, that the one who in heaven had been there before the world was created, he was there from eternal ages. He came into time. He was here for about 37 years or thereabouts. And the one who was everlasting and never had a beginning, he came into time, stayed here for a short time, and has gone back to heaven. And I say to all in the meeting tonight, dear friend, your hope for eternity is to be found in Christ, and to be found in Christ alone. Blessed be his name. He ever came from that marvelous world. I came down from... Let me tell you another thing. It's not just that he was in heaven. But you know, there's another matter that we need to think about just for a minute. Because in heaven, he held the highest place there. There was no one in heaven who was above him. There are many ranks of angels in that great world, but the Savior was above them all. And he came down from heaven. When that lady carried in her arms the infant form of the Savior who had become incarnate, he really became man. He didn't pretend to be man. This is not some kind of just fantasy. This is not just some kind of avatar. This is not some kind of pretended appearance. He really became man. My dear friend, let me tell you, that you might be saved, that I might be saved. Do you know what God has done? God has reconfigured heaven. This is something big. This is the amazement of angels. This is the wonder of the universe. This, dear friend, is the story of the gospel. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the possibility of you, of the likes of me, rising to go to heaven is because the Savior made the first move and he came down from heaven. Thank God he ever came from heaven. Do you appreciate it? Some of you people here before me tonight, you have lived on earth, some of you 40, 50 years. You have disregarded the Savior. You have organized your own life. You think you have everything just pat. And although you have been upon earth for about 40 years, it has never really dawned upon your heart. And it's difficult for me. We know nothing but other than earth. We are creatures of earth. We belong to earth. We are made of earth. My dear friend, think tonight about a Savior who was in heaven and came to earth, that we might be saved. I came down from heaven. But then I have another statement that the Lord Jesus made. We read it here in chapter 12 of this very same gospel. And the Lord Jesus makes this comment about his coming. He said, I came unto this hour. Now you might not initially understand what that is referring to, but I can explain it to you very easily. To me, it's a greater part of the journey, if we dare say that. It was great for him to come from heaven. But dear friend, I can never fully fathom this, that having come from heaven, he came unto this hour. You know, there was an awful hour. The Lord Jesus was referring to his death upon the cross. The words that we have just read were spoken on perhaps about the Wednesday of the week that he died at Calvary. On Friday, for 6 hours, he would be hanging upon a cross. And he said, I came from heaven for this very purpose. This hour, to get to that hour, he went through the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us about it. To get to that hour, he went through all those trials and judgment and mockery and shame until at last, dear friend, he arrived at Calvary. What a place. What a period. Now let us just take a little pause in this gospel meeting in Lurgan Gospel Hall. Here we are about 2,000 years away and about 2,000 miles away from where it all happened. But did you ever think about what the Lord Jesus accomplished at Calvary? He came to that hour. In this very gospel, he tells us on a number of occasions that in that hour he had been lifted up. You know, it was a violent death. None of us is able to fully apprehend the awful cruelty of crucifixion. It's not just, dear people, that the Lord Jesus died, but he died a very cruel death. He was lifted up. It was an hour of agony. But I want to say, especially, and if there are any in the meeting that would love to be saved, let me just remind you that it was an hour of atonement. In the gospel, I could have read you the verse. The Savior said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" The Bible looks upon the judgment of God against sin as being a cup. The contents of that cup are the wrath of God against our sin. There was no other person could ever empty that cup but the Lord Jesus. And upon the cross, that's what he did for us. That's what he did for you. This hour, and for 6 hours of human time, the Savior hung many Christians, quite a number of them, in the meeting many a time. We have sung the words and sung them with gratitude in our hearts. Whatever curse was mine, he bore. The wormwood and the gall, there in that lone, mysterious hour, my cup, he drained it all. Dear friend, isn't it great tonight that my brother and myself, we can tell not only of a Savior who came from the heaven, but a Savior who came to the hour, the awful hour. Will you give me permission just to quote another verse that Christians sing we appreciate? Wondrous hour. Wondrous hour. The Savior answering to the throne of God for our sins. Dear friend, he did this for you. Wondrous hour when Jesus, thou, co-equal with the eternal God, beneath our sins, didst deign to bow, and in our stead didst bear the rod. It's great that you have come to this meeting. And I want to say again, you do not need to leave down the steps and through the door or some of these other exits still with your sins unforgiven. Dear friend, there's an offer tonight in this gospel meeting. There's an offer. Because of what the Savior did at Calvary. I said it was an hour of agony. I said it was an hour of atonement. I'll tell you quickly, with joy in my heart, it was an hour of accomplishment. Because he said, "It is finished." And we're not waiting for anything else. It's not a matter of penance. We have announced gospel meetings. If the Lord be not come, the meetings will take place. And some of you, I hope, are intending to get saved in those meetings. But dear friend, I want to tell you something better. Get saved tonight. Don't wait to the meetings. They might never come. You don't need to go to another hour of gospel preaching. The Savior has borne the hour of grief at Calvary. And this is the hour of grace and opportunity. Cast your deadly doing down. Down at Jesus' feet. Stand in Him alone, gloriously complete. He has come. You have come. Are you going to go away just as if He never came and just as if He never suffered? Before I close, I want to remind you of a third statement here. It's back to the first statement that I was mentioning. I came from heaven. I came to the hour. And what he suffered, dear friend, for you, may God grant you'll think about it tonight, that your sins might be forgiven. And he added this. He said, if I had not come, well, he said it would have been different. But now that I have come, he said, they have no excuse for their sin. I want to leave with that. Because remember, if you would leave this meeting tonight unsaved, I feel, dear friend, that I can tell you, you have no excuse in light of what Christ has done. If he had done 80% and you say, oh, well, if he had done a bit more, I would have been all... He has done everything that needed to be done. There's no excuse. He has traveled the full distance. There's no excuse. He has paid the full price. There is no excuse. He said, if I hadn't come, they would have had an excuse. And they could have said to God, you never sent anybody to save us. But he said, now that I have come, they have no excuse. Last week, I happened to be going for meetings down to Belfast for a few nights. And as I made my way down the motorway, those new signs that they have above the motorway that you all know, so many minutes to the West Link, so on and so forth, lane closures, etc. On a few of the nights when I was travelling down the motorway, they had a short message emblazoned on the sign. Four words. No seatbelt. No excuse. No seatbelt. No excuse. I want to say before I step back and leave it to my good brother, dear friend, you see, if you go into the meeting with no salvation, you have no excuse. Because God can do nothing more. Christ needs to suffer no more. It's simple faith in Him and faith in Him alone that brings the blessing. And remember, there's no excuse. Cars are not now allowed to go out without a seatbelt. The manufacturer puts a seat belt in the car. There it is, sitting on the pillar. You get in, you drive down the road. If you don't have your seat belt fastened, whose fault is it? If the manufacturer didn't put a seat belt in the car, you could say, well, you can't blame me for not fastening the belt. There's no belt there. But when the manufacturer puts it in, it's up to you to put it on. No seat belt, no excuse. Can I say it, dear friend? God has provided salvation. It's there. It's in place. It's readily available. It's a free gift. I wonder tonight, are you going to put it on? Put your hand around, take what God has provided, and put it in, the click. I remember a man telling us here when it came to getting saved, he was seeking it for a while. And one night in distress and helplessness, thinking of what Christ accomplished on the cross, he said it just clicked. He became connected by faith. He had the seatbelt on and he was saved. And let me tell you, dear friend, just as I sit down, it's very dangerous to travel on without the seatbelt. Some of you have no salvation. And mind you, I'm getting afraid about the crash. And you see, if you're stopped, if I was stopped without a seatbelt, they might say £50 or £100. I could never afford that. But you see, dear friend, if you come to the end of the journey without salvation, it won't be £50 or £100. It will be eternity in hell. Disaster. May God grant you'll think about it. You have come. Christ has come. May God grant you claim Him as your Savior this very night, because remember, no seatbelt, no excuse, no salvation. No excuse. Don't be travelling dangerously. God has made provision. May God grant you'll grasp it this very evening.